Was it over there that you had a near-death experience?
Yeah, it was over there, but not at that time.
In Israel.
In Israel. My father had been a big financial supporter of Ben-Gurion University. Now, the main campus of Ben-Gurion University is in Beersheba, which is in southern Israel, the desert city. David Ben-Gurion lived on a kibbutz maybe 10, 15 miles from there. The David Ben-Gurion Library was built in this kibbutz. They built a new wing to the library, and it was named after my father in appreciation for what he had done. It was a big event. Jasmine and I went, and our oldest daughter, Marilyn, went, and my brother and his wife and my sister and her husband. We have family living in Israel, and they were all there. Basically, the government of Israel is kind of like one big family, and you had all of your leaders of the government there, and it was the big event. Well, the morning of the event, we were staying in Jerusalem, and I woke up, and I felt really sick, and I was sweating and just felt awful. I went downstairs for breakfast, all dressed up, because we were going to go, and I was to make a speech on behalf of our family as the oldest and first child and all that. I passed out. I was taken back upstairs, and I had like 106, 107 temperature. The hotel called a doctor, and the doctor came and ministered me and gave me shots or pills. Jasmine wanted to stay, and I said, no, we've come all this way. I want you to go. And so they went to the dedication, and I was asleep or what, I can't say for sure. They called the hotel from where they were, which was several hours away from Jerusalem down to where the library was. They were told that somebody had been taken out in a stretcher or something like that, taken to the hospital, and they were scared to death.
No, they said someone had had a heart attack or stroke. Yeah. They didn't know what it was and been taken out on a stretcher. They had no idea who the person was. Marilyn was on the phone at the time. She said, what hospital? And they said they didn't know. So we were really scared to death by this time.
I honestly felt that I died that day. I know there are two possibilities. One is that I did and one that I didn't. And I felt that I died and that I spoke to God. God asked me, and I said, I'm not ready to die. There are things I would like to do. God asked me to make a promise, and I did. Several hours after they had gone, I woke up, and I felt fine. I mean, I didn't feel sick or anything. I went downstairs and got some orange juice. I remember that, and I think that's when they called the room, and nobody was there, and they got very nervous.
No, actually, when you went down was when we arrived back. Uh-huh. And we were just walking into the hotel as you were going back with the orange juice in your hand. And we were about ready to kill you because we were worried all the way back. It was a dreadful drive back from Beersheba across the desert. Never knowing what had happened and where you were, we thought, well, what are we going to encounter? And there, Melvin is walking on the ship. Nothing had happened.
The man you thought had gone to the hospital had not gone there at all.
Right. Well, there was definitely somebody that
wasn't your husband.
And if I were to take a lie detector test and were asked, did you die that day, I would answer yes. And did you have a two-way conversation with God, I would answer yes. And I would pass it because I really believe that. The other possibility is that, number one, the doctor gave me some pills or a shot. I don't remember which one. It could be that the medication suddenly cured me. And we're in Jerusalem, the holiest city in the world, and have thoughts of God. You know, it would not be that unusual. But having that kind of fever and as sick as I was, to have felt completely well and not weak, and when they got home, we went out to dinner, I honestly do believe that I did die that day, and that it changed my life.
What was the promise?
Well, the promise was that I would be more charitable than ever. I'd always been somewhat charitable, but just to be more charitable than ever and to really try to help people more than ever before.
So has that been a driving force in addition to your religion? But you kind of made that pact with God then, didn't you?
Absolutely.
And that's driven you to this very day.
It has.
So then I guess there's a point here I was going to ask about your Jewish faith and what it means to you. Do you have a comment on that, or maybe you feel you've already commented on it?
My mother and father both came from very religious families, and both families that kept kosher and all that. In fact, Jasmine and I kept kosher as long as we could, but finally we had to get, there was no more place in Oklahoma City or Tulsa where one could buy any kosher food, and we got it from Kansas City, and on the bus, and summertime it would all be spoiled, and we now eat meat that is not kosher, but we still keep the kosher part of religion as best we can, and we'll never eat anything that comes from a pig or shellfish or anything like that. We've always believed in God, and believe that Jewish people are supposed to do good things. And so we try to do that and try to teach our children that.